Okay, let's celebrate our guests. Let's give God praise. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. We honor the King of Kings. Man, this is an exciting series. I know if you look at the title of this series, The Powerful Principle of Meditation, it doesn't make people shout when they hear it. And especially when you start talking about the power of the Word, people go, yeah, I know. I've heard that. I know about that in my mind. I know about that. But I want to tell you, it's a big difference between the people that know it in their mind and they live it. And I want to tell you, everybody that knows Christ can live this. Because God's designed you for this. He's designed you to operate out of His Word. His Word is life. And I want to tell you, if you try to live life your own way, boy, I'm telling you, we got testimonies all over. You've probably got testimonies in your own life that if you try to live life your way, we can make the biggest mess out of it you ever seen. And we can complicate it. It can be as the stomach turns on TV. There used to be a soap opera named that. Or that's what I used to make fun of it. I don't know if it's even still alive. I hope it's not. But I want to tell you something. You know, your life can become a soap opera, and it can become so complicated and so messed up. And I want to tell you, if you try to live life your way, that's what happens. That's the result. And I want to tell you, strife enters into our life, and if strife comes into your life, I want to announce you're confused. You're disheartened. You're mad and sad at the same time. And I can give you a picture of that. Look at our nation right now. Because there's so much strife. And I want to tell you, Jesus is bigger than strife. All right, when we come to Jesus, there's peace, and we become peacemakers, and we become ministers of peace. And that's what the ministry of reconciliation is getting people back to come and experience the peace with God. And if they experience peace with God, they can walk in the peace of God. Boy, that sounds like a series that needs to be preached. May be happening real soon. But I'm here to tell you something. If you've tried life your way, how's that working out for you? I know, it's a mess. But I want to tell you, we can do life God's way. And I want to tell you, God knows what He's doing, and He's given us a plan of operation right here. This is His plan of operation. It's His Word. And He wants you, it's hard to understand the operation plan of God unless you know the author. And the first priority of the Word of God, He wants you to get to know Him. And so it's important to get to know the author. And once you know the author, it's a whole lot easier to understand what he's saying. Now, the beautiful blonde, that's the first lady, that's my wife. The beautiful blonde can explain what I'm saying and what I'm meaning better than anyone else on earth. Because she knows me better. You would think that if I communicate for a living, I'd be pretty good at it. Well, I mess it up sometimes. I get it so backwards sometimes. And I mess up. But she's able, when people don't understand, they're able to ask her, what does he mean when he says this? And she can explain it. Why? Because she knows my heart. And the more you know his heart, the easier it is to understand what he's saying and what he means. And I want to tell you, he wants you to get to know him. And that's what this principle is about. The principle of meditating on God in his word. It helps you get to know God better. And as you meditate on the Lord and the Word, guess what? You get to see Him. And I'm not talking about necessarily a physical manifestation, but I'm talking about seeing Him in your heart and seeing Him in the Word. And when you see Him in the Word, guess what happens? You're transformed. Every time you see Jesus, you're touched and you're changed. And so this ought to be our appetite, is to look at the Word of God, not for necessarily education, it's good. Not necessarily for information, that's okay. But for revelation, to get to see Jesus. Because when we see Jesus, we see His heart for us. And you know what? Hey, we begin to see ourselves as God sees us when we see Him. I'm telling you, this pair of glasses of the meditation of God, seeing God in His Word, opens up your life to the light. And you begin to see what you haven't seen before. You begin to see yourself in Christ. And when you begin to see in the mirror of God's Word what you really are versus what the world says or what your experience has said or what people have said to you in the past, I want to tell you it's transforming. And when you are in the Word enough to start believing the Word and anchoring on the Word, transformation is happening in your life. This is for everybody. And so I'm telling you, it's much deeper than inspiration, even though we love inspiration. I want to tell you, let's get in the Word of God. Because the Word of God changes your life. And you've heard me say it before, but it would take a miracle in reverse for it not to happen if you're eating up the Word of God. I want you to listen, Jeremiah 29:11. And, you know, this is pretty popular scripture. But we need to be reminded, because sometimes some of the things that we go through, we end up with a little disappointment and a little discouragement, a little sadness of what we come through. And I want to tell you, the world doesn't, heaven doesn't measure success like the world does. And so you got to understand that what pleases God, the world may not clap at. But I want to tell you, for example, when you see yourself in Christ, and the Bible says that we're in Christ and Christ is in us, that He's our identification. And you understand, I got so much joy this week about meditating on how that we are in Christ, and we are in Christ seated in heavenly places. Now, I want to tell you, that blows a human's mind. But we got to see this out of our spirit, because we worship God, not necessarily in the physical, but out of our spirit. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And we take the truth and we agree with what's in our spirit. And I want to tell you, that's a greater reality. And so I'm announcing to you that we are in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We are in Christ besides the Father. We are in a place of victory and overcoming. We are in a greatest place of blessing. There is no greater measure of acceptance and love life than to be seated in Christ besides the Father in heaven. Now, I want to tell you, I know the mind may scramble to try to, how do we identify with that? But your spirit will be saying, yay, yay, and yay. And let's just agree with what the Word says, and let's let that be our foundation. But He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, and not for a disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And I want to tell you, over the years, this particular verse, and I'm going to share with you another example if I get to this about Psalm 91, how that I read Psalm 91 to a person that was absolutely just covered in fear. And I want to tell you, if you're struggling with fear and struggling with these worst-case scenarios and what all the media pumps into your house and into your mind and all these scenarios, you know, it's just bad. Bad news makes money. And so they hit you with the worst case scenarios. But I want to tell you something. I was sharing with someone. I said, look, I just want you to be still and relax and listen to Psalm 91. And I read Psalm 91 to them. And I read this verse to them. And I want to tell you what they said. That's nice. No, I wanted to shake him. And I said, wait. Nice don't get it. Okay? Nice don't get it. Okay? This is necessary. It's necessary that you get in this and stay in this, listen, long enough. And this is where a lot of Christians miss. They'll read it for a little, oh, that's nice, but it's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be necessary that you see this on the inside of you, on the screen of your heart. You got to see this to be true. You got to stay in the Word long enough for it to click, for you to own it, is what I like to say, for it to be yours with your name on it. You've heard me say that. And so are you seeing a future? See, this is a good question between you and the Lord right now. Are you seeing a future? Are you seeing a future filled with hope? Because hope is the expectation of God's goodness coming to your life. And so, do you have hope? See, with the power of meditating on God and His Word, you see Him, you see His promises, you see yourself as God sees you. And I want to tell you how God sees you. He sees you in Christ. When He looks at Jesus, does He frown? When He looks at Jesus, does He smile? When He looks at Jesus, is He blessed? I want to tell you something. As He sees Jesus, He sees you. That's the beauty of what Christ did on the cross. you get to see what he's doing. I want to tell you, most Christians, and I'm saying this broad, but I really believe it's true, so just stay with me on this. Most Christians, if you were to personally interview them and say, what is God doing in your life? They'd say, disciple. See, he wants you to know. It's not a secret. He wants you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And he wants you to know what he's doing in your life so you can cooperate with it. If you don't know what God's doing in your life, you're not cooperating. I want to tell you, a whole lot of what God does in our life is us cooperating by submission and yielding to him. And so it's important that he wants you to see what he's doing. And listen at this, he wants you to see what he wants to do. Now, the great beauty of this is that he doesn't always give us the full picture. A lot of times it's just a little peek through the curtain about our future. But I want to tell you, he likes to give you a peek through the curtains because he loves to let you know great things are coming. And I want to tell you, in your heart, from your spirit, in your soul, if you really believe it, it comes out of your mouth, great things are coming. Great things are going to happen to me because I'm loved by the Lord. He's ministering his hope in me. He has a purpose and a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. He's got plans for me that are good. Plans that don't include disaster. God doesn't plan disaster. And let me make an announcement. He doesn't send disaster. The enemy does. Jesus said there's one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. Jesus comes to give you a future. He said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And to give you a great future and a hope. And see, that's where we need to walk. We don't have to walk in sadness. And we can walk in gladness. Somebody say amen. Amen. So his plan for you is good and to prosper you. His will for you is already in existence. He's not inventing his will for you. His will has already been lined out. He's got good, perfect, and pleasing will for you. So you got to see what he's doing, what he wants to do. He's already in your future. Now, remember now, this is in the invisible realm. And you got to understand that there's a spiritual world around us. There's the kingdom of God around us that's not physically seen with our human eyes. But it's greater reality, and it's more real than what you can see, feel, or touch. And it's for your good and his glory. And guess what? It's to bless others. Now, Mark 11, and I'm trying to show you that Jesus was all God, no question about that. But while he was on earth, he was also all man. And you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm just going to tell you real simply. He was the real God on this earth. But he was expressing himself as a human so that we can identify with him how to operate on this earth. His relationship with Father is a beautiful mirror of how we're to relate to him. You understand? And so he was operating like we're supposed to. For example, when there was thousands of people that needed fish tacos, I want to tell you, he operated the way we're supposed to. When we come up into a situation where it's physically impossible, those things happen on earth, then we're to do the same thing he did. He looked to the Father. And he saw provision. And he had already heard from the Lord this is what he wanted to do. And so his prayer was, thank you. All right? And he received. And he received out of heaven thousands of fish tacos for thousands of people. And he started out with just a little bit that was given to him on this earth. And he took the little bit and he made much. Little is much when God's on it. And I want to tell you, God wants to be on it in your life. And so this is the way he operated. And I'm telling you out of Mark chapter 11. Now, it was already Bible prophecy. It was prophesied in Zechariah, I want to say 9:9 in Zechariah, that Jesus would enter into Jerusalem on a donkey, that there would be a praise parade. All right, we call it something else in church life, but I want you to know it as praise parade. And so it was already Bible prophecy. It was already God's will. God had already lined it out to happen. Jesus, as was his manner of custom, spent time with the Father on a regular basis to hear from Father. And there was sweet fellowship with Father. And I'm believing and I'm sharing with you that he was operating like we're supposed to. Lord, Father, what do you want us to do today? And Father tells him, hey, this is the day for the praise parade. And, you know, we've already declared that you'll ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, and I have a donkey lined up for you. And it's over here on this street in this nearby town and village, and you're to send a couple disciples out to go receive this. You see, it's by faith. Jesus couldn't see the donkey, okay, but he saw it in heaven. He heard from the Father. I'm telling you, this is the way Jesus operated. He even declared and explained. He said, these are not my words. I don't speak on my own. I say what Father is saying. Do you hear fellowship in that? And even in his works and his miracles, he said, these are not my works. He said, these are Father's works. And so he heard and saw from the Father what to do. It was Father's work. That's the way we're supposed to operate. Do you hear fellowship? Do you hear life in that? And so this is what was happening. He heard from Father what to do. And so as they were getting near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent ahead two of his disciples. And he instructed them, go into the village in front of you, and as soon as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied, which has never been ridden by anyone. Please take note of that. Now, we live in Texas. I don't have to explain to Texans what happens when you get on a colt that's never been ridden before. We got an exciting word for it. We call it rodeo. Rodeo. And we love it. But that's what happens. Okay? Are you with me? And so there's a miracle here. Hey, are you in a situation where it's looking right for a miracle? Stay tuned. Here we go. You'll find a colt tied which has never been ridden by anyone. Unfasten it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? This is what you're to say. The Lord needs it, and he will send it back here presently. I had someone ask me one time, whatever happened to the donkey? The disciples brought it back. Okay? So they went away, and they found a colt tied at the door out in the winding open street, and they loosed it. And sure enough, it's just like the Lord to prepare us ahead of time. Some who were standing there said to him, what are you doing untying the colt? And they replied, as Jesus had directed them. And they allowed them to go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their outer garments upon it. And he sat on it. Okay, there's a miracle. And many of the people spread their garments on the road, and others laid those leafy branches they had cut from the fields on the road. And those who went before and those who followed after, okay, they cried out with a great joy, Hosanna! I love it. Praised and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now this is, you can circle verse 9 and write your name on that. That's a daily directive. You want to know what God's will is? That's a daily directive, is to be a part of the Jesus Praise Parade every day. I tell you, heaven is not impressed with mumbling, grumbling Christians. I can't tell you how many of them I talk to on the phone or I run across and I say, hey, how the Lord treating you? They go, what? Well, the Lord's treating you good. And they mumble, grumble. Okay, that doesn't bring them honor and glory. And if you're practicing mumbling, grumbling Christian, your focus is on the wrong place. And God's called you to be a part of the praise parade on a daily basis. And you know what? You need to change your directive and direction. And so here we are. Jesus needed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem as God's will, Bible prophecy. The donkey was already provided by God. And get this now. The heart of the owner was already prepared. You see, we can't see that with physical eyes. All right? The heart of the owner was already prepared, but it's still took faith to call for it. Jesus exercised faith the way we're supposed to. We hear from God, get direction from God, we speak it. There's a lot of authority released when we speak it. And so we've taught you to speak the word of God, say what God says. There's power in that. And involved to call for the donkey and to receive it. And so this is what happened with Jesus. This is the Jesus vision, the Jesus picture I'm showing you. He practiced meditating and fellowshipping with God. And he heard, and he received and he spoke it and he gave the directive of the day to the disciples. He saw the provision ahead of time. He asked and received. There were steps of action that took place. That's what we call faith. He heard from the Lord. He saw it in his heart. That's hope. And he put steps of action to it. That's faith. All right? So, very important. That's Jesus' vision. Now, let me tell you, disciples' vision. They had faith in this, too. If I were to tell a couple of our guys, go two blocks down and take a right, and there's a red Mustang there, and the keys are in it, just go ahead and get in it. And I want you to drive it. I need it today. And if anybody, huh? Wait, you say, whoa, wait, wait. You know, disciples would say, we need a plan B. Okay? Because if we get stopped, you know, we could end up in prison over this. Okay? People take it seriously when you take their Colts or their Mustangs. And I want to tell you, we need a plan B. We need to be able to explain ourselves here. We need an escape plan. We need an exit plan. Okay? No, no. I want to tell you what's very, very important. These disciples had faith. They heard the words of Jesus. They saw in their mind where he said to go. They used their room. Hey, that room we've talked about, okay, that's in your heart to see what God's doing. And you say, well, I don't have that. I don't operate. Yes, you do. Where'd you park today? See, I'm asking you where you parked. You can see your car in the parking lot and you ain't looking. That's your imagination room. I can ask you, how many doors do you have exiting your house? And you're going around right now. One, two. Oh, yeah, and that one too. Yeah, I don't ever use that, but that's one. You see, you're using that imagination room. God created the imagination for you because that's how he ministers hope to you. He wants to give you words. He wants to give you pictures. He wants to show you his goodness before he does it. Okay? You got to keep in mind, this folder represents the line between the visible and the invisible. And we serve an invisible king and operate out of an invisible kingdom, even though we're living in a physical world. And so this represents that by faith, we get the bridge. We hear from the Lord. We have hope in our heart. And by faith is the bridge to reach into the invisible and operate the way God's designed us to receive our purpose, to receive our vision, to receive our answer, to receive our miracle, to fulfill our destiny and our purpose. I'm announcing to you, it is impossible for you to fulfill God's will and God's destiny and purpose for your life by operating under the world's ways. We are designed to reach into the invisible because in the invisible, Jesus has paid for everything we need in this life and the next for godly living in this life. It's here, and it's by faith. This is why it's so important for us to learn to receive. Part of what this series is all about. Because when we meditate on God and his word, we see. Faith comes. All right? Now, the disciples, they were sent ahead. And you know what? They were servants. You know what? They were obedient. They didn't understand everything. Boy, you folk that got to have everything explained out to you, I want to tell you, God speaks, you just obey. You just do it as a servant. You know what? It takes humbling yourself to do something you don't completely understand. And they did. And verse 2, I want to tell you, it's very, very important. I'm going to repeat it in another verse, but he said this. Just do what he says. I tell you, great things happen when we do what Jesus says, whether we understand it or not. And you know what? Because sometimes it doesn't make human sense. It did not make human sense to go get a colt that had never been ridden before for Jesus to ride on. Hey, it's beyond human reasoning. But you know what? We just obey God. Hear God and do what he says. Somebody say amen. Amen. A whole lot would happen in the kingdom if we'd just do that. And verse 3, they said what Jesus told them to say. They didn't add to it and they didn't take away. That is vital important. Because I want to tell you something. You start doing something that Jesus told you to do, there will be resistance. You will be challenged. And most likely, it's going to be by humans. They're going to challenge you. Now, I want to tell you, spirit of darkness can be behind it. And I want to tell you, I hate this, but it's true. Sometimes the enemy can speak through those we love and respect. But I want to tell you, you start doing something for Jesus, you're going to be resisted. There's going to be challenge. And I want to tell you what's very, very important. Just say what Jesus told you to say. Don't add to it. Hey, God don't need your help convincing people. I want to tell you, when we add to what God says, we water it down. Let me make another announcement going the other way. We don't have to apologize for what God says. I want to tell you, that's just wrong in a bunch of ways. But what we are to do is to say what he says. And we're to follow his word. You know what I love about them, these disciples? They followed what he said. They were practicing seek and find. You know what? That's part of our journey here on earth, is we're seeking and finding. Okay, and he loves that. They practice receiving. And we say what he says, and you know what they did? They brought it to Jesus, and they gave it to Jesus. That's always the right thing to do. When God's having you do something, the miraculous may take place. Don't put your brand on it. How wrong would it have been for those disciples to say, boy, this is a miracle. We got out of there. Hey, I'm going to brand this thing before we get it to Jesus. No, no, no. I want to tell you, he receives honor and glory when we give it all to him. Okay, now, let's look at it from the donkey's perspective. Are you ready? Yes, the donkey has a sermon. And yes, the Lord can use donkeys. I wanted to use another word to describe this. My wife voted no. I have learned and I preach to listen to the sensitivities of your wife. And so I'm doing that. But I wanted to call it another name, even showed her in Scripture where it was scriptural. She said, no, please don't. And so the question is, do you want to be a wild donkey? Or do you want to be a servant donkey? Which kind of donkey are you? So would you rather be trained first? Here we go now. Get ready to be honest before the Lord. Would you rather be trained first or broken first? Would you rather learn by submitting to the Lord, or would you rather go to Rodeo first? I want to tell you, Rodeo is not fun for the animal. Okay? Listen to what Jesus said. Let me tell you what he would rather do. You see, we're talking about, are you going to operate by wisdom and surrender and submit to the Lord? Or, hey, are you going to go through the school of hard knocks? I've been to both. I'd rather go through the school of Christ. Okay? Jesus said in John 15:3, you've already been pruned and purified by my message. You've already been trained. You've already been developed by my words. And that's his preference, not the school of hard knocks. And so don't you dare say, well, you know, the Lord just whooped me real good. Well, we do get corrected. All right? But I want to tell you, that's not his preference. His preference is for you to receive it from the Word. I hope you're listening to me. Okay. And so to be trained by His Word and His Spirit is yielding. It's humility versus the school of hard knocks. This donkey submitted to the Prince of Peace. It was in his nature, the pride of independence. And that's what you see at the rodeo. Those bulls, those horses say, I'm independent. You're not going to own me. I'm my own. And so you're off of me. And so the war's on. But I'm telling you, it makes a tremendous difference. When Jesus got up to this donkey, I'm telling you, something happened. This donkey recognized, this is not a regular human. This is the Creator. He created me. It's an honor for me to serve my purpose. I'll be one of the greatest celebrated donkeys of all time because I get to carry the Prince of Peace in the praise parade that the Bible's already declared. And you know what? He recognized the Prince of Peace and he submitted. He yielded to the Prince of Peace. Now, I don't know what you're struggling with today. But I want to tell you, I know pride and independence sneaks in. And I want to tell you, pride and independence is not from God. It's to steal something God has in store for you. And so our victory is not through pride and independence. Our victory is through submitting and yielding. That's what Jesus did for us. So he experienced the honor of serving the King of Kings. There's wisdom in submission. There's fulfilled Bible prophecy. I want to tell you, Balaam's donkey spoke the words of God. I'm telling you, when you say what God says, he gets honor and glory. Mary's donkey fulfilled Bible prophecy because she carried, because he carried Mary and baby Jesus to fulfill Bible prophecy for where they were to be born in Bethlehem. Mary's donkey, Jesus' donkey, he fulfilled Bible prophecy and he led the praise parade for Jesus. And this is what is important, because the Word of God says, by esteeming others better than ourselves. Are you listening? See, this don't operate the way the world operates. But this is the way to get kingdom life flowing in your life. By esteeming others better than ourselves, we bring honor and celebration to our King. This little donkey, the Bible says that this donkey, that when they brought this donkey to Jesus and he got up on top of the donkey, which was a miracle, that they covered him with their garments. And so they laid the garments on top of the donkey. And as they were traveling into Jerusalem, the praise parade began. And this donkey was not saying, "They're praising me." He wasn't saying, "They see me." No, this is what the donkey was doing to fulfill Bible prophecy. He submitted. And he was covered. And the master was ruling and reigning on him. And he was saying, "They don't see me, they see Jesus. They're not praising me, they're praising Jesus." And he brought much honor and glory to the kingdom of God. And many praised him and celebrated him. And he had a part. And I'm announcing to you, we have a part. And I want to tell you, it's very, very important that we practice being in the Word, because when you seek the Lord in the Word, you humble yourself. And the Bible says when you humble yourself in the Word, you receive wisdom. And wisdom is greater than all the rubies. Now, I want to tell you, this owner yielded to Jesus. And I want to tell you, I believe, and this is personal, this is Tim talk, I believe that after this donkey got back, this owner was so blessed, he said, "Let me tell you something." I think he was announcing it. "Not only do I give this donkey to Jesus, I give everything I own to Jesus. I give Jesus my family. I give Jesus every possession. I give Jesus my land. I give Jesus my business. I give Jesus my family and my life." Because whatever you give to Jesus is super blessed, and it's a picture of restoration. What Jesus blesses is better than where it started. That very morning, a little wild donkey was taken by Jesus. And that afternoon, that owner received not a wild donkey, but a trained donkey, a submitted donkey, a donkey that had been a part of the glory of God and would fulfill his purpose of serving the rest of his life with a bounce in his step, don't you know? And I want to tell you something. When we see ourselves in Christ and we humble ourselves to esteem others better than ourselves, we allow the Lord to do all he wants to do. And he receives much honor and glory. And we can fulfill our journey with a bounce in our step, because we know we're bringing honor and glory to the Master. That's God's desire. That's got one of God's ways. He wants us to fulfill our purpose. I got a few minutes. Let's go look at Abraham right quick. You ready? Genesis 13, 14, and 15. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had left him, "Lift up now your eyes." Now, you know, I've already taught you, and we've covered it in other sermons, a number of examples how this is meditation terminology, to lift up your eyes. It's to meditate. It's to see the Lord.
to seeing the invisible. Okay? Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, do you see that? Okay, circle that. All the land which you see, I will give to you. Now you say, Brother Tim, he was up on a high place and he's just looking around. No, no, it's more than that, because I'm telling you, the land that he ended up receiving was bigger and further than the human eye could see. And so I'm telling you, there's picture language in this that we need to take and operate in. And I'm telling you, he was seeing into the invisible. And God's saying, all that you see, I'm giving to you and your bunch forever. Is that a good word? You see, when you seek the Lord in fellowship, guess what? In the fellowship of his word, he gives you hope. Hope shows up in your heart. And then as it shows up in your heart, I'm telling you, faith is there. Hope comes from, it's the essence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. They're not seen, but they're more real than what you do see. And that's where faith comes in. And we walk it out by faith. Deuteronomy 11:24 tells the people of God, this is very beautiful. He said, everywhere the sole of your foot steps, I will make your possession. It'll be yours. Everywhere. And I want to tell you, he's given us a promised land in this life, on this earth. But you know what? It takes us walking it out. We got to walk on it. We got to step on it. We got to step out and walk on it. And it becomes ours, okay? God's way, and this is the combination. This is what I was wanting you to see today. And so please catch this. I was meditating on this, and I had to go into my own house and use my own front door and the combination lock. The combination lock does not operate by one number. Come on. And there's a lot of people who look in the Word of God, brother, and they see faith is the key, and the only thing they preach, and the all answer to everything is just faith. Just have faith, just have faith. But it's more than faith. I'm sharing with you, there's a combination lock to the kingdom of God, the way we're to operate. Jesus operated that way. The people of faith that we're talking about operated that way is a combination lock, and the Bible tells us the key. The code is faith, hope, and love. These three are the combination. Now, the way that the Eastern mindset speaks, they'll list the last first. In the Western mindset, we list the first first. And so I'm telling you, that's the way it looks. But even the Word backs it up and says, the greatest of these is love. And so I'm telling you, you operate in the love life with the Lord. You get in the Word of God, and you see Jesus in the Word, and you have love life with the Lord in the Word. And as you're having love life with the Lord in the Word, hope comes. Hope springs up out of the Word in your love life. And you see on that big screen in your heart, in your imagination room, what God's saying, what God's doing, what God wants to do, because the first thing he shows you is himself. He shows you himself. And when you see him, you get to see who you are in him. And hope springs up. And when hope springs up, you see pictures and get words and little videos of what he's doing and what he wants to do. And when there's hope, faith comes. And so it's a combination of these three. And all of them take place from meditating on God in the Word. Do you see why this is so important? I hope you caught that. Needs to be a witness about it. Please meditate on that. Please capture that. God spoke to Joshua as he was about to possess. Get this now. Possess means to receive. God spoke to Joshua as he was about to receive Jericho, a city that was, get this now, was naturally impossible to penetrate. It was an impossibility. Naturally impossible. But not with God. I want to tell you, you meditate on God, and this is what God had told Joshua. You meditate on my instructions day and night, and I will cause you to be a success. I will cause you to prosper. He does the causing. He shows us. And this is what happened. He showed Joshua how to conquer a city that was naturally impossible to penetrate. And Joshua 6, verse 2, you got to catch this, see this. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, everybody say it, see. Now, I want to tell you what he wasn't seeing. He wasn't seeing in the physical because the city wasn't conquered yet. But I want to tell you about your Father, your God. And this goes with the promises of the New Testament. He calls those things that are not as though they were, because in him they are. Is that great news? This is why you need to identify with Christ. And he told Joshua, see, see into the invisible. You see, we got, before we can see in the visible, we got to see in the invisible. That's the way God designed us to operate. And this is the way we all can operate. And so this is the example I've been trying to show you with this simple little illustration. This is the dividing line between the visible and the invisible. And he wants us, by his word, seeing him in his word, he'll show us in the invisible. And by faith, we receive. Okay? Love life. Hope comes. Faith we receive. And so it's a combination lock. Everybody got that? Okay, so with God, you got to see it in the invisible before he can deliver it, before you can have it in the physical. Before the physical is manifested, you got to see it in the invisible. This is the way God designed you to operate. And so don't look at me like a calf at a new gate. You've heard this. You know this. Yesterday, at Pastor Justin's graduation, there was a little blind lady. And when I saw her, I got to be honest with you, my first response was not compassion. My first response was praying for healing. Okay? And I'm announcing to you, the world can have compassion. We can see God's better plan. And I want to tell you, there's no condemnation there, because I want to tell you, all of us are needing a touch from Jesus in some way or another. I'm needing it. But when I saw her, it prompted me to pray for her. All right? But I'm here to tell you something. She had to have help. I don't have to explain this to you. She had to have help getting up on the stage. She had to have help getting down from the stage. She had to have help getting to her seat. And when I was watching her, I was praying for her. But I want to tell you, I had some insight hit me, and this is where it is. That's the way most Christians operate. Most Christians operate just like the natural humans around them operating in this world, because they're not able to see into the invisible what God's doing and what God wants to do. I'm telling you, he's designed us to have eyes to see what the world cannot see. That's the way we're to operate. I want to tell you, the church was not designed to fulfill the commission of Jesus Christ in the natural scene operation. We have to be a supernatural church. Your life cannot operate in normal life. If you are to be a supernatural believer, we got to touch the supernatural. This is something God does. Let's look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that, don't you? Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, this is where we speak it. We practice his presence and then we speak it. A lot of authorities released, powers released when we agree with what God says. When we say what God says, he is my refuge, he's my fortress, my God. On him I lean on and rely on. In him I trust. I love that. Verse 3. For then he will deliver you. This is what God does. That's verse 2 is what we do. Verse 3 is what God does. Then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Verse 4. Then he will cover you. We practice verse 1 and verse 2. He does verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Are you seeing God as your shield? I want to tell you that's a powerful picture. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by the day. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the sudden destruction or sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. We've seen it all, hadn't we? 1,000 may fall at your side. You're not to be dismayed. 1,000 may, 10,000 at your right hand. You're not to be discouraged. You're not to be scared, because it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be. Like you watching it happen, but it's not happening to you. Because you're inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. Because you have made, this is the difference. You've practiced verse 1 and verse 2. You've made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Do you see that? No plague near your tent. Now, I want to announce to you, there was a little lady that I've shared with you, that I shared this scripture with, that was having trouble with fear. And her answer was, you know what I'm going to say? Well, that's so nice. It's not nice. It's necessary. Okay? Most Christians that have looked at this scripture will say, well, that's nice. That's cute. Oh, that make me feel good. No, it's got to go deeper than making you feel good. It's got to go deeper than your head knowledge. You've got to so be saturated in this that you become a part of it. It becomes a part of you. It's infused in you where you're confident. You have courage and confidence that this is your God, and you see yourself under His umbrella, under His authority. You see yourself protected. The greatest protection from any virus is Jesus. It's not a vaccine or a medicine. But I want to tell you something. You know, we tell off on ourselves, because what Savior are you promoting? Man, it's getting a little quiet out there. What Savior are you promoting? What help are you depending on? We have a little grandma here. I call her the official grandma of the church. Her name is Sandy. And she went through something recently. There was a broken bone in her foot. And if you've ever had that, there's no way that you can move and it not hurt. And I want to tell you, she went through some pain. But I love her attitude. You know what? When I called her, it wasn't mumble, grumble, mumble, grumble. Okay? When you talked to her, you know what you heard? You heard hope. You heard that she knew she was loved by the Lord. You know what else she would say? I know this is temporary. Huh? She was talking about how loved she is by the Lord. And she's going to be okay. She had hope. And you know what? She was exercising some faith in some ways. And I want to tell you, she's a blessing. And that's the way. A response of faith, hope, and love, that's what you hear. But I want to tell you, if there's something else that you're leaning on or depending on, it doesn't sound like that. Meditate on God in His Word in Psalm 91 until you see yourself and your family in your imagination room, yet you're covered by His wings. You're under His umbrella, and no plague coming near your tent. That's Bible. And that's the believer's response. We need to believe. The believers need to believe enough to get it. Not for it just to be nice. Now, I know, I'm going to wrap up with this. We could inspire you today. But the emotions don't last long. How many times have we been to meetings and chatted a little bit, celebrated a little bit, felt all good? You know, it's good to feel good, isn't it? But I want to tell you something. Honestly, sometimes before we even get out of the driveway of the church, there's been a fuss. Don't look at me. I'm not going to tell. And sometimes before you get home, there's a disturbance. It can even happen a few minutes after prayer meeting. I'm telling you, it can happen. Oh, that's so funny. That's more funny than you know. Or you know what? I'll tell you what we could do. We could be a life coach today. They're real popular now in churches, life coaches, where they give a little motivational speech, encourage you, massage your little heart some. But it don't last. Because, you know, when you come back the next week, you're in the same situation, it may be worse. You need more than a life coach. We can make you feel, you know, good about yourself, where you're patting yourself on the back on the way out. But I want to announce something to you. The world claps for that, but that's not one of the ways of God. The ways of God are better than that. And so don't operate out of your own way. Don't operate the world's way. Let's operate God's. Give God's way a chance in your life. Because God's way is for your life to be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of His Word. And that's what He loves to do. I want to tell you, God will do this for you. He'll take you and He'll change your heart. He changes your life. You say, well, I've been involved with this for a long time and I just can't get free. And I'm going round and round this circle and it seems like I've circled this over and over again. Just listen. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God. So in other words, get off your own journey and surrender to God. This is where it starts. Humbling yourself before God. If you want God just to touch and change your life enough so you can get on about your own business, you miss. You're asking and praying to God about something that's going to just live out of your own lust. God's more about helping you. He wants you to know Him. And He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. This is a way of worship, to submit and yield to the Lord. Dedicate your life to the Lord. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't be poured in the same mold. You can't operate the world way. It's superficial. Be transformed and progressively changed. You see, that's a great testimony of a believer. Not only did Jesus change me, but because I'm in His Word is working on me, and Jesus is still changing me. That's a great testimony. Now, that's the testimony of a believer. By renewing of your mind, how do we do that? By being in this Word right here. You see, somehow, some way, listen to the Spirit of God drawing you to His Word. Because I want to tell you, if you're not in His Word, you're playing church. You want me to speak plainly about it? Okay? I'm telling you, people that are not in His Word, they don't ever change. They may improve in some little ways. Okay, but they don't change. You're not transformed without this Word. This is God's way. So don't try to live the rest of your life your way. I'm telling you, no matter what people think, you know, we can fool people by having a whole library full of Bibles, carry a 97-pound Bible around with us. I want to tell you, that Bible's got to go from the page to right in here. And it's got to stay there. And it's got to be the priority of your life. But I want to tell you, those people that seek the Lord and humble themselves before the Lord in that way, they are transformed inside out. And everybody knows it's God. You don't brag on yourself. It's not self-improvement. It's not a self-made man. I want to tell you, everybody knows that was God. And you prove the acceptable and perfect will of God and purpose for your life. Prove it with your life. With your life, you're to prove that God's real. All right? And this is the one thing that sets it off, that sneaks in. It's easy for it to sneak in. Verse 3, for by grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability. If you think you're just a little too smart to do it God's way, disciple. There's a big difference between a convert and a disciple. And if you think you're a little too smart, you're just a little too good. You know, you're doing okay anyway. Well, just beware. Okay, one storm can come into your life to upset your little foundation because it's not based on the Word. But if you're based on the Word, I want to tell you, you'll stand. And not only will you stand, you'll come out shining. And you'll come out in a way to bring God honor and glory with your life. This is God's, what God wants to do. If we think of ourselves more than we ought to, listen, this is the deal. It says in the last part of verse 3, God's given us a degree of faith. Now, thank God Pastor Justin's got a degree, another degree. He got a bunch of them. And go and get another one. Go on. Okay? And I understand where his heart is. So it's about the Word and about the Bible and about ministry. But I want to tell you, a lot of people out there with degrees, they're still cold as ever. You can have 32 degrees and still be frozen. I'm here to tell you, hey, let's all operate in a degree that God's already given us, and it's the degree of faith. And I want to tell you something. By faith, this can come reality in your life. That's God's hope for you. He is all about transforming your life into His image and bring Him honor and glory. Let's be a donkey that's submitted and serving and be a part of the praise parade. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for tuning in. We'll pick up right here next week. I like to say live in living color, so we'll do that, okay? And I love you so much.